WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Jimmy Carter has expanded and redefined the role of an ex-president. We're about to find out what former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has been up to. She's personally and professionally involved in the issues surrounding caregiving, taking care of a sick loved one. Rosalynn Carter is the honorary chairperson of the Rosalynn Carter Institute for Human Development, which focuses on the caregiving process. When I spoke with her last fall, she had co-authored a new book for caregivers called Helping Yourself Help Others. Taking care of a sick loved one can radically change your life and alter the patterns of family life. Rosalynn Carter writes that caregiving has been part of her life since she was a girl. In 1940, her father was diagnosed with leukemia. He didn't want to stay in a hospital, so her mother took care of him at home.
My mother was 34 years old when my father got sick. I was the oldest child. I was 14. My little sister was 4 with two brothers in between. And my father got sick, and he was sick maybe for about 6 months. And we were devastated, the whole family was. That's one thing that we learn in studying caregiving, is that it affects the family relationships. But we were devastated, and my mother's an only child. The next year, 11 months later, her mother died, and my grandfather came to live with us. He was the father figure in our family then for years. He lived to be 95 years old, so in the beginning, he was a lot of help. Still, mother was tied down to take care of him for years and years and years.
What was it like for you to have a sick father at home? Were you responsible for any of his care?
Well, of course I tried to help mother. I was the oldest. I was a daughter, and I found out that most caregivers are women. But mother depended on me to help her. And I knew that he was not going to live, and of course you just feel helpless. I used to read to him, comb his hair, or do anything I could to try to make him happy. And also I had this terrible guilt feelings because I was only 13 years old, and as a child I had sometimes bad feelings about him. If he called me down or punished me or wouldn't let me go across the street to see my friend. This was when I was a little child. And I felt really guilty, thinking maybe if I had been better, he would have lived. I didn't realize until I was writing my autobiography and working through these things that's normal for children who lose a parent by death or divorce. They feel guilty, like maybe they had something to do with it. One of the things that I hope this book will do is let caregivers know that it's all right to feel, that it's perfectly normal to feel guilty, because all caregivers do. Even if they're with someone they're taking care of 24 hours a day, they feel they might do it better, or they feel guilty because they get angry with the loved one they're taking care of. All these emotions are normal, and I think it's very helpful to know that. It helped me to know that it was all right for me to feel guilty.
Did your mother ever confide in you feelings about resentment or guilt during your father's illness or during the 25 years when she cared for your grandfather?
No, she never, ever complained, never. And, of course, she was devastated, and I knew that because she cried a lot. But when we found out he was sick, and then, of course, when we're taking care of him and so forth. When I was writing the book, I asked her one day, if she ever suffered from burnout, just being completely overwhelmed and exhausted, or if she didn't ever get angry. And she said, no, Papa was good. He was just really good to take care of. And then she tucked her head a little bit and said, well, he did keep me awake all night in the middle of the night toward the end of his life. And she started talking about some things that had not been easy, but I never ever heard her complain about it before. And this was not complaining, this was kind of reflective.
You grew up watching your mother care for people, first your father and then your grandfather, and I wonder how that affected your feelings about the responsibility you did or didn't want to have to care for others when you grew up.
Well, It was a terrible time of my life. I was in the eighth grade, I suppose, the seventh grade maybe, when my father died, in the eighth grade the next year, and it was like nothing good ever happened. The war, World War II, started right in the middle of that. I look back on it as a really, really difficult time in my life. But also, I can identify with people who have to take care of somebody all the time. And I even consider myself a caregiver now, because my mother is almost 89 years old. She lives alone. She drives her car, which we worry about. I know she wants me at home, and I can't be there all the time. And I feel guilty about that, although I have a brother at home who can take good care of her if she needs him. But I'm the daughter. I'm the oldest. She depended on me when my father was sick, and then to help with my grandfather, and she just likes for me to be there. So I can sympathize and understand the feelings of those who are responsible for someone else, for caring for someone else. And caregivers are affected financially, physically, emotionally when they have to take care of someone all the time. And so often are just feel they're really invisible. They feel left out, because attention is almost always on the one who is ill or the one who needs care.
Could you talk a little bit about how in your own life you've decided to divide your time between the time that you give your mother to watch out for her and care for her, and the time that you've, decided to spend to your work and to other aspects of your family life?
Well, we have so many things going on at the Carter Center. I'm so involved in so many programs, and my mother understands that. She likes for me to be at home, and she knows that I can't be there all the time. And as I said, I feel very guilty about it. But when I am at home, she eats lunch with me almost every day. Spends the night with me if she doesn't feel good. She's had some health problems, and sometimes she's nervous about staying alone at night. And she doesn't want me to worry about her. I do, but she doesn't want me to. But also, I have a brother at home who has fixed a room on his house so that Mother can come and be with him if she's not feeling good. She can come spend the night with him. She likes to be in her own house. It's important to me to be there with her on holidays. I'm at home maybe a third of the time. I think Jimmy says we spend about a third of our time at the Carter Center, and we travel. We have so many programs, particularly in the developing world and in our conflict resolution programs and so forth, that we have to be gone a lot.
Well, a third of the time to be home and near a parent is actually comparatively a lot of time when you think of the number of people who are living very far away.
That's right.
From their parents, and maybe spend a few days a year together.
And when I'm not at home, I call her. And the time I worry about is when we are overseas. We go to Africa a lot, visiting. We have health and agriculture programs there, and conflict resolution programs in other places. And I can't always get her when I try. And that's when I worry about her most.
Rosalind Carter is my guest. Her new book is called Helping Yourself Help Others, a book for caregivers. I know it was a very difficult transition for you and your husband to make after Jimmy Carter lost his reelection bid. And I wonder what it's been like for you now to see him getting hailed as one of the most important former presidents in recent history, hailed for the way he's redefined the role of ex-president.
Well, of course, I think he was one of our greatest presidents, too. But most of the things that we do don't get a lot of publicity purposely. For instance, we work on conflict resolution and human rights, and we have 26 health programs operating out of the Carter Center, mostly in Africa, with poor in the developing countries. We have agriculture programs teaching small farmers in mostly in Africa to increase their food production. And those, if we go into those countries and the head of state gets credit for what's going on, then he really is gung-ho about the program. So we don't put our name on things like that. And with human rights efforts, if Jimmy writes a head of state, if one of the major human rights organizations comes to us and say we have a really tough problem with a head of state, then Jimmy can write him a letter or call him and say, I've heard this is going on in your country. I know it's not true. I hope you will look into it. And almost invariably, that leader will either let whoever he has in prison out or try to do something to overcome that situation.
Rosalind Carter recorded last November. She co-authored a book of advice for caregivers called Helping Yourself Help Others. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.